You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to First Bite, the Pride of Detroit midweek podcast where we talk all things Detroit Lions with a very special guest. And boy, do we have a special guest this week. Before we get into it, my name is Jeremy Reitzman. I'm the editor-in-chief at Pride of Detroit. I'm the co-host of First Bite. And with me is my other co-host, as always, way on the other side of me, way over there. Ryan Matthews is here at Ryan_POD. Ryan, how we doing, buddy?
I think I'm running out of steam, but I can't. I got to keep going. Hey, gotta keep going.
We're a week away, a week and a day away when we're recording this from the NFL draft. And you know, you absolutely knew we were going to have this guest on us to talk NFL draft, formerly of Pride of Detroit, now with Pro Football Network. He's got a big fancy title that I meant to pull up. He is the NFL Analytics Director and Applications Development for Pro Football Network. Math Bomb, Kent Lee Platy is here. Kent, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, man, glad to be back.
The only man in the game that has a mustache far, far better than I do. Kent, I'm ecstatic to see you again. I know you're doing well. I'm happy for everything that's going on with you, and I really appreciate you making some time to join your previous home here.
I'm always going to be able to make time for you guys.
Appreciate that, bud. So last week we talked to Brett Whitefield, formerly of PFF, and we talked offensive prospects. We are bringing you aboard to give us the lowdown on defense. And let's start right there at the top of the draft, because the Lions are sitting there at 7, and there's really one or two guys that people are talking about as a potential pick there at 7. Do you think there's a defensive prospect at all in this draft that is worthwhile of that 7 pick if the Lions stay there?
I don't have any defensive players in my top 10. It's all offensive guys. It's just the strength of this draft class. But if I did, it wouldn't be a position I think the Lions would take, which is cornerback. Patrick Surtain's my top defensive guy, cornerback out of Alabama, and I don't think that he's a guy that they would target that high. So it's not that there's not talent in the draft. I just don't feel like there's top 10 talent on defense here.
Yeah, and the other name that seems to be really popular, Kent, obviously, is Micah Parsons. So where do you have Parsons rated, and do you see him as potentially being a fit for the Lions? Maybe not of 7, but if they do trade back, do you think that Parsons might be a target of theirs?
I think he's going to be at least looked at. From a talent standpoint, I have him right about 15, right in the middle of the first round. He's extremely fast. He's an instinctive linebacker, not the best in coverage. I know Lions fans hate to hear that a guy's not good in coverage. But that's not really his strong suit. He's a much better pass rusher than he is dropping back into coverage. But I don't think that he would be the right pick for the Lions at 7, not just from a positional value and a regular value standpoint, because I don't have him rated in the top 10. But those character issues that have been around this whole time, those are going to continue to creep up. They're going to continue to get talked about. And with the stuff that the Lions just went through with Matt Patricia and that big black eye that they took for how they evaluated him and how they vetted him as a person to become a part of the franchise, I don't think that they can afford to make a player with those type of background issues their first pick as part of a rebuild. So I don't think that Parsons is going to be their first pick if they stay at 7. Now, if they trade back into the middle of that first round, the value at least is there. It starts to get a little bit more easier to stomach when you're a little bit closer to where you would value a player to begin with and the position that he's playing. I still think it would be a pretty big risk. And at that point, you're looking at a position where you've got a lot of pass rushers who are going to be on the board who fit that value. And I think that brings much more to the franchise than drafting an off-ball linebacker there.
Well, let's get into those guys, because I the more I look at some mock drafts, and who knows how much of a reflection of reality mock drafts are. But as we get closer, it does feel like the Lions are in a spot where a lot of people project a trade back, whether it's with, you know, the Patriots at 15 or a couple spots with the Broncos or the Panthers or whatever it is. Let's say we are talking the middle of the first round. Who are some of those pass rushers or other defenders that might be in play there for the Lions should they trade back in the first round?
That's interesting, because there's so many good pass rushers in this draft class, but it's not, there's no blue chip pass rusher. There's no Myles Garrett here. There's nobody that you can look at and be like, this guy is going to be a double digit sacks guy his entire career. That guy doesn't exist in this draft. The one guy that you would have that on tape has the athletic profile for it is Jalen Phillips out of Miami. And Jalen Phillips comes with very significant medical red flags. He almost had to retire due to concussions in college. So even though he's probably the most talented pass rusher in the class, I'm not even sure he goes in the first round with the amount of risk that's going to be involved. But you start looking at a guy like Joseph Osai out of Texas, very explosive pass rusher. He's got a pretty diverse set of moves, a guy that you can move around your formation, do some things with. I think the Lions could get creative with him. Quiddy Pay out of Michigan, I'm sure a lot of Lions fans are familiar with him. One of the most agile big men in this entire class, in any class. I'm still extremely angry that he injured his quad during his pro day and didn't give us those agility drills, because having a guy his size show out with those agility drills would have been fantastic for a guy like me that values those numbers. But he's a very good prospect, and he's a player that should be looked at in that middle of the first round. You've also got some riskier picks. Joe Tryon is one of the most explosive players in this draft. That's pretty much the only thing he is. He's not a very diverse pass rusher. He's not very bendy. There's a lot of wrinkles to his game that need to be ironed out, but he's extremely explosive, very high upside there the Lions could look to. Or Jason Owa, who ran a 4.36 as a defensive end, which is bonkers. And even though everyone who has seen him was predicting that he was going to run a sub 4.4, the fact that he still managed to do it is just nuts. But athletic traits aside, he had zero sacks last year in college. That's not something you want from a first-round pass rusher, not somebody that you want to build your franchise around. So a lot of these guys come with some kind of significant risk, and that's a concern. But the Lions need a lot of things, and defense, pick a spot on defense and they need it. So I wouldn't be opposed to taking a pass rusher there, or a linebacker, even a corner if a Horn fell. I don't think Sertan will, but if Horn fell, I might even consider a cornerback there. I don't think the Lions go with safety, but that's when their second round pick starts to come in. But every other position on defense is up for grabs there.
You know, that we've been preaching that, Kent, ever since, you know, draft season officially started. You know, it seems like the Lions have, a grocery list that is abundant, and they have a lot of shopping to do in this draft, and they have limited draft picks to do so. But the one other position, you know, we kind of touched on it a little bit there, was the linebacker position. It seems like the linebacker position is one of the better ones, kind of like in recent memory, just in terms of guys that do a lot of different things. It's almost kind of like a choose your own adventure when it comes to drafting linebacker in this class. And, you know, provided that, you know, maybe the Lions do move back and they can get more value there. I mean, JOK is a really popular name. Zaven Collins, who, you know, bulked up to 270. It's going to be really hard to see if Bill Belichick and the Patriots will be able to turn down a linebacker at 270 pounds. But what do you see as a value pick, maybe potentially, you know, if the Lions move back in the first round at linebacker, or we can maybe start getting into, you know, early day two in terms of their second round pick at 41. What do you think the linebacker class has to bear?
You really hit on it. It's a pretty deep class in right after that first tier. You know, when you have your Micah Parsons, your Zaven Collins, your JOK, you start getting into that second tier, and it's a thick second tier of guys. Some of those guys might even be better than some of the guys that are in the first tier and could definitely at least contend for a first round selection. With Baron Browning was a guy that you should consider at that beginning of the second round, late end of the first round. And Jamin Davis out of Kentucky, who I feel is almost a lock for the first round at this point. Both of those are extremely talented, superb athletes, and they have some good positive traits on tape as well, both against the run and against the pass. So there's a lot of really good options. You mentioned JOK, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame. A lot of Lions fans really liked Isaiah Simmons last year, and JOK gets compared to him for similar reasons, a linebacker without a real position. I don't think the Lions are going to value JOK as much because they have so many needs. And a player like JOK, any utility player that can play multiple positions, you've got to have a little bit of a stronger roster there to be able to fill in those spots whenever they move around to take advantage of their skill sets. Otherwise, you're just creating other holes on the field whenever you try to move your guy around. So I don't know that the Lions are going to value JOK as much at this stage of their rebuild because they're just getting started. But the other guys, there's like I said, there's a lot of linebackers in this class. Garrett Wallow out of Texas Christian is another guy that could sneak into day two if they don't get a first or second round guy. Buddy Johnson out of Texas A&M is a possible day three pick that the Lions could pick up that could come in and at least play as a rookie, get some playing time, and eventually try to work into a starting role in other years. Nick Neiman out of Iowa is another name that came up that they could try to do that with. And a very popular one is Derek Barnes, who could also sneak into the third round. A very athletic linebacker, a lot of really positive traits, a lot of negative tape in there as well. He's got a lot of stuff that he needs to clean up. But there's so many guys in this linebacker group who are either really good at one thing or good enough at everything that they're probably going to find their way onto a football field very early in their careers.
It's kind of amazing how many choices there are in the draft at linebacker once you realize you don't have to draft someone who's 250 pounds.
It's such a relief, man. I don't know if I posted that when that first happened, but like being able to scout these guys and actually think about what the Lions would do with them is such a relief because I don't have to sit here and just be like, oh, nope, not on their board. Nope, not on their board. Not going to do it. Right. They're not going to even look at them. You know, there's only like three guys that the Lions would have looked at under Matt Patricia. They would have loved Zaven Collins. You could have written that in Sharpie. he's a little too fast to play in a Matt Patricia defense. But that's he definitely has the size.
Though, right? Like 270 and he's running what, a 4.6? Like that's insane.
Yeah, and like I'm pretty sure at some point he played at 270 when he was in college. He was huge in college. And those athletic traits do pop, and they pop on tape. He's got a lot of athleticism at that size. I think he lost it just so he could show out at his pro day and show off a little bit and then gained it right back. That's me theorizing. I'm not basing that on anything other than my own opinion.
Yeah, it's interesting because, I specifically point to a Chris Spielman quote from he had a podcast with Tori Petri and she asked him, what's one thing that you can say to fans to get them more excited? And he said, this defense is going to be different personnel wise. It's going to be based on speed. And this class has a lot of speedy linebackers. I want to talk about two more before we move to another position. I've heard a lot of people talk about these two guys and you either love them or hate them. Chaz Surratt and Monty Rice. What are your thoughts on those guys?
Yeah. Monty Rice is your typical Georgia linebacker. He's going to get drafted because he's a Georgia linebacker. He's got some decent speed. He underwhelmed quite a bit at his pro day. A lot of people were expecting him to just put on this big show. He was getting compared at least athletically to Baron Browning, who did show out at his pro day. One of the best performances by a linebacker ever, but Monty Rice kind of underwhelmed. He didn't really have that good of a pro day. I'm sure that's going to push him down a little bit, probably out of day two. Might be early day three, but he's a good player. I mean, he's not going to blow you out of the water and really wow you with everything. Reminds me a little bit of James Laurinaitis played for the Rams back in the day, where he's good enough at everything, where he's going to get on the football field and he's going to play, but he's not good at enough at anything where he's going to make a bunch of Pro Bowls and be the top tier guy that's going to blow you away. That's always been my impression of Monty Rice. Chaz Surratt's an interesting case because he was expected to test poorly at his pro day and he didn't. He tested pretty well at his pro day. That wowed a lot of people. They weren't expecting that. He was expected to test a little bit worse. But you're also talking about a guy that's coming in as a 24-year-old rookie. And some teams are just going to look at that and be like, well, he's pretty maxed out. We're not sure we're going to get a whole lot else out of him. He's a good player on tape. He's probably a day two guy on tape. I would expect him to go in that late day two. I feel like he's a good enough player to get on a football field and put in some good work. I don't know where to value him. It's a little tough to try to figure out where he goes.
Yeah. the one last name I got for you, Kent, when it comes to linebacker, and we're obviously very linebacker heavy because we've been so linebacker starved as Detroit Lions fans for so long, right? But Jabril Cox, I think he's such an interesting case study because, you know, plays in the FCS, plays at North Dakota State for 3 years and decides, hey, I need to put some tape together at, you know, the highest level of competition. So he goes to LSU, plays in the SEC, and he had a pretty solid season. I mean, one of the highest graded coverage seasons when it comes to linebackers, according to PFF. So what are your thoughts on Jabril Cox?
I love Jabril Cox. I haven't gotten a chance to talk about him a lot because he didn't test. And a lot of the players that I'm talking about are guys that, just because of the nature of what I do,
right,
are guys that have tested. Cox is testing like on the 26th, like right before the draft,
which isn't
super helpful. I expect him to test really well. I think he's fast. I think he's explosive. He has the traits that you want from a linebacker that you want to put on a football field. I think he's firmly entrenched in that early day two. I don't think he's going to push all the way up into day one, but he's probably going to go in the late 30s, early 40s in the draft. Really, really good player on tape. He puts up a lot of stuff. And like you mentioned, he's a pretty good coverage linebacker. And the Lions have just not had anybody that can cover in like 8 years or something like that. So getting somebody out there that can do it, just somebody, anybody that could do it, you know, get him out there. Love Jabril Cox, though. I'm really excited to see him test in a couple of days.
All right, I want to talk about one more position before we head to our first break here. What I've heard from scouts and draft analysis is that this is one of the worst defensive tackle classes in history, I guess.
Yeah.
Do you agree? And do you think there's anyone that maybe the Lions target in day one or day two?
It's one of the worst in recent memory, and next year doesn't look a lot better. So we're kind of hitting a really weird drought. And it's every type of defensive tackle. You know, usually when you get a bad defensive tackle class, you'll get a bunch of nose tackles that get pushed up.
Right.
We've seen that a bunch, to the point where nose tackles are going in the first round, even with teams knowing that they're just a nose tackle because that's all there is, right? But there's not a lot of talent in this defensive tackle class. And a lot of the talent that there is comes with significant risk. Christian Barmore is the best defensive tackle in this class by most analysts. Plays for Alabama, which I'm sure helps a little bit.
Sure.
He's not a nose. A lot of nose tackles come out of Alabama. He's not a nose. He's an interior guy, interior pass rushing type. And he's pretty good. I'm not sure that he would be considered a first round guy in any other draft. He would probably be that early second round type, but he's the best defensive tackle in a bad class. So he's going to get pushed up a little bit. He may go as high as 15, I've heard. So it could just get him pushed all the way up there. Davion Nixon's another one to look for out of Iowa, one of the better athletes in the class. I think he tested worse than he looks on tape, and he still put up really good numbers. There's some character issues with Nixon that are going to come up, and they're going to cause some concern, some things about how his maturity and things that he's had to deal with in his life. Alim McNeil out of North Carolina State, a superb athlete, really struggles with length in the class. Who was the other one that really struggled with length? Milton Williams. Milton Williams out of La Tech, he might go all the way up in the first round, which would blow me away because his tape does not warrant that. Incredible athlete. I mean, you're talking about, I have him measured as a defensive end, and he's at the top of the class. As a defensive tackle, he would also be at the top of the class, but there's some serious length issues here. You're talking about a guy with 31-inch arms, and it shows up on tape a lot. When you have a guy that has shorter arms, if a guy with longer arms gets their mitts on him, it's a lot harder to be that big, powerful force in the middle. If you got some guy with his hand on your jersey with 3 or 4 inches of space between your fingers and his jersey to try to back it up, it becomes really tough to take that kind of stuff up. But he's probably going to go in the late first, early second, which, like I said, just blows me away. It would never happen in another class. There aren't really good nose tackles in this class either. I really wish I could come up with some better names because I think the Lions could use a nose tackle with Danny Shelton leaving. They kept Nick Williams around, who's probably going to be their three tech, but they still got to have a nose tackle to eat up some space. Hopefully John Pennacini can take that up. He was a really good nose tackle at Utah, even though he was smaller for one. He's put on some size to him, and hopefully he's continued to bulk up and put on some muscle. there really isn't even a good enough name to bring up. The best nose tackle, true nose tackle in the class is probably Tyler Shelvin out of Louisiana State. And I don't think that Tyler Shelvin would be anything other than like a mid-day three guy anyway, even in a regular class. So in a weak class, who knows where he goes. But it's just not a great class for defensive tackles at all.
All right, we're going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to talk secondary. We haven't touched on the secondary yet, and we know the Lions have some work to do there. And then we're going to get into everyone's favorite topic with the draft, sleepers. Everyone loves a sleeper. We're going to see what Kent has up his sleeve in day two and day three of this draft. So stick around with us on First Bite as we talk about the defensive prospects in the 2021 NFL Draft.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And we are back here on First Bite talking defensive prospects for our NFL Draft 2021 preview, here with Kent Lee Platy, aka Math Bomb, aka the NFL Director, Analytics Director, and Applications Development of Pro Football Network. Let's talk secondary, because we talked kind of the front seven there in the top of the show. We got to get to the secondary here, because I think there are a lot of great day two options here for Detroit. And, you know, you look at mocks, you look at a lot of the guys that we've circled in our mock drafts in that second and third round. And it's really the safety class that I'm most intrigued in. And so, Ken, I'm interested in what you think are maybe the best fits or the best talent, the most athletic guys there that two or round three for Detroit.
And I've heard people that really, really like this safety class. For me, it's kind of middle of the road. I don't think this is the best safety class. From an analytics, athletic testing standpoint, it's one of the worst safety classes we've had in a while. I think that speaks more to the bottom of this class than it does the top of the class. The top of the class guys tested well, how you'd expect them to. And I don't really have any concerns athletically for the guys that the Lions are probably targeting. The almost consensus top safety in the class is Trevon Moore, got a Texas Christian. Really good player, a lot of good athletic traits on tape, really smart, really instinctive, hits really well. He's not my number one safety. He's the consensus guy a lot of people have at the top. For me, it's Richie Grant out of Central Florida. I think he brings everything that you get from Morig, only he hits a lot harder and he looks like he's having a lot more fun when he's doing it. So I'm a little bit of a sucker for safeties that enjoy themselves. You know, ever since we had Delmas back in the day, who had a blast every time he wasn't broken. You know, I've always had a soft spot for guys that just love to go out there and hit. And Richie Grant is that guy. Yeah, Diggs, man, you know the type, guys that just want to go out there and hit somebody.
Yep.
Richie Grant is that guy. And I think that both of those two are solid options day two if the Lions decide they want to go for safety and those guys are still there. If they don't go with them, Caden Stearns out of Texas was one of the most athletic safeties in the class. Really good player, a couple of wrinkles to his game, probably needs a little bit of a development. Similar as a prospect to Will Harris in that he's more athlete than a football player, needs a lot of refinement. So he's probably going to go in that same range as Will Harris, probably in that third round. Hamza Nasruldeen out of Florida State's another guy that he didn't really get a lot of good tape at Florida State compared to what he was doing individually. He got put in a lot of bad positions. He's a better athlete than he tested. He's been dealing with some injuries and stuff. So he's another guy I think to look for. Outside of that, because we have Brad Holmes here, we get to look at some really interesting players. So I'm kind of going to sneak in a sleeper or two here while we're talking about it, just because I have some and I've been so fascinated with how Brad Holmes has evaluated safeties. Yeah. For those that aren't aware, you know, athletic testing is a big deal for me. I always want the guys that have the big flashy athletic numbers. Brad Holmes does too for most positions, but safety, he does something a little bit different and he looks for a subtype of safety from an athletic perspective because he's very good and in the defensive backfield of both evaluation, finding good players and valuation, finding out where they should go and knowing that he has the resources to get them and he can wait and get them. And he's been so good at that over his time with the Rams. Two of the guys to keep an eye on are Elijah Molden out of Washington and Trill Williams out of Syracuse. Both of those guys are cornerbacks. They're not safeties, they're corners, but they're prime safety converts because neither of those guys ran a really good 40-yard dash. Molden ran a 4.59. That was unofficial, though. It was probably in the low 4.6s. It wasn't an official time because he got hurt and they didn't end up recording it. But I didn't expect him to run a really good 40. But he is really explosive. Trill Williams, the same thing. He ran a 4.59, but he had a really good 10-yard split and really good explosive drills. Those are the things you're looking for those corner converts to safety and just regular safeties that are going to be a little bit later in the draft because a lot of teams overvalue that 40-yard dash. They're looking at that as if it's the only thing that represents speed. But Holmes has found a way to identify guys who are game. You hear that game speed all the time. But it's not a matter of being able to run fast straight line. It's being able to get from point A to point B and identifying players who can break down a play quickly and then be moving before other guys are able to start moving or at a different point. It gets you in position better, faster. So you don't necessarily have to have that ridiculous top end speed. As long as you're going in the right direction early enough, you can cover a lot of ground. We always talk about it being a game of inches, and Holmes has done a really good job of finding guys and valuing them a little bit later to try to find guys that take advantage of that from a value standpoint.
I like Elijah Molden as a player, so I'm glad you hit on him. And then the other name, Trill Williams, name bracket, just extraordinary if he ends up with the Lions for sure. One other cornerback to safety convert that I think is drawing a lot of attention. I'm interested in him from the aspect that he put together some good seasons at Ohio State, but Sean Wade, you know, really struggled in 2020 when he was tasked with, you know, going outside and playing cornerback. Doesn't seem like that's the life for him. So what do you see after Sean Wade's pro day? Cause it seemed like he had a decent testing day.
Yeah, he had a good day from testing, and the testing I don't think was ever really much of a concern. He didn't test his agility drills, which he probably wouldn't have done all that well at. It's not really much of a concern for me because, like you said, I consider him a safety convert. Being fast and explosive is much more important when you're that far back. I really like Wade as a safety convert. I don't view him as a cornerback at all. I know some people view him as a proper nickel option. I don't really. I think he's much better as a safety, staying as not just a single high, but staying back and being able to keep the play in front of him. He's explosive and he's fast, and he's really good when he knows where the ball is, of being able to get to where he's supposed to be. His issue playing cornerback was largely just figuring out where the ball was, getting his head turned around, figuring out where he was supposed to be at the snap, and being in the right position before the ball was even thrown. You put him at safety, you mitigate a lot of that, and you really play to his strengths. I really like what Sean Wade can bring. I'm glad that you mentioned Trill Williams' name, because his real name is even better. His real name is Atrillion Williams, which is even better, and might be one of those guys that you just got to call by the full name, man.
I love it. I want to go back towards the top of the safety class and talk about two guys that I've seen them both draw comparisons to John Johnson, which obviously a guy that's had a lot of success in L.A., and that's Jamar Johnson and Javon Holland. I want to start with Jamar Johnson because of the 40 stuff you were talking about and how sometimes a bad 40 might actually help the Lions or the Rams. And Jamar Johnson, you know, 4.6-ish, 4.58. Not a great 40, but I think the instincts and the play speed show up a little bit. Is that how you read it as well?
Yeah, and he's got good ball skills. I'm not as big of a Jamar Johnson fan as some other folks are. I'm not big enough to say that he's a surefire day two guy. I think that's probably where he's going to end up going, is in that third round.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of really good stuff that he puts on tape. He just hits that subtype of safety stuff that I was talking about.
Yeah.
He's got good explosion, didn't have the greatest 40-yard dash. His splits weren't as good, but they were good enough. They were okay. But I think that he's going to get looked at. The Lions really need a lot of things on defense. And like you mentioned before, speed is one of them. Johnson has that on the football field. His game speed is perfectly fine. My concern with Johnson is just that I don't think the upside is really there. And I'm not sure that that's going to help with value. It's kind of like we mentioned with some of the other players earlier. Value is a big part of where you're going to get a guy and whether you're going to get that value out of him. I think he's valued a bit higher than where I'd take him. But he's a really good player. Javon Holland that you mentioned, Holland, opposite end of the spectrum, he has no problem with athletic testing at all. None of his tests were below average. Most of them were really, really good. Holmes is really smart about how he picks safety. That doesn't mean he ignores the guys that test really well. He's picked up guys that were elite athletes as well. And Holland is that. He tested extremely well, and he played for Oregon, which is a team that sees a lot of passes. Another guy that I think is valued a little bit differently, he doesn't quite have the type of tape that's going to get him in that surefire day two conversation, but those athletic tapes pop, man. He's really explosive and he's really fast. Teams like that stuff, man. I'm sure that he's going to get picked up by a team that's looking to develop him in that free safety role, where he's going to be playing back a little bit to take advantage of that speed and that range. I'm not sure where the Lions are going to value him. Same problem I have with Johnson. I feel like they're going to have a different valuation of these guys than most of the other teams will.
Yeah.
So, you know, Kent, we talked a little bit about, you know, some of the top cornerbacks in the class. You mentioned, you know, in our first segment that Patrick Surtain is your number one defensive prospect. Obviously, it seems with the Lions taking Jeff Okudah last draft at number three overall, probably takes them out of the running of taking a quarterback at number seven, or probably even if they move back a little bit. It seems like they have a big need, though, at nickel cornerback. You know, they have Amani Oruorie, they have Jeff Okudah. Sure, they could use some depth there, but, you know, Corn Elder is really what they got at nickel corner right now. So maybe some of the nickel corners that you see in this class that could be day two or day three picks for the Lions.
Corn Elder's great for me because everybody likes to think I only like those high RAS guys, and Corn Elder had a garbage RAS. I knew he was going to have a garbage RAS. I knew that before he even tested, and I still love that guy. I still would have picked him up in the draft. I'm so happy to see him in a Lions uniform, man. I'm stoked for it. It's a pretty good draft to want to go out and get a nickel. One of the biggest names right now across the entire NFL is Asante Samuel Jr. Not just because of his bloodlines, but because he's one of the better nickel prospects in this class. He played a lot outside, but he projects inside in the NFL. He's met with all 32 NFL teams, some of them twice. He's going to go a lot higher than a lot of people are projecting him right now. I think he's probably very, very firmly entrenched in day two, probably an early second round guy. And the Lions pick in the early second round. He's an exciting nickel prospect. I would be stoked if the Lions were able to land him. Greg Newsome out of Northwestern could sneak into the first round. He's another guy that has a lot of experience playing both inside and out. I think he'd be a really good nickel prospect to start off his NFL career. I think he might go a little higher than the Lions are going to be able to pick him up. He'll probably go between the Lions' first and second pick, even if they draft or even if they traded back and went a little bit further back. Aaron Robinson out of Central Florida is another guy, probably projects a little bit better on the outside than in. But he's a very good player, and I think the Lions would end up with him on day two. They could have that 1-2-3 cornerback group of Okuda, Oruwariye, and Robinson and be totally set. And just because people want to hear it, we'll talk about Ambry Thomas a little bit. Ambry Thomas out of Michigan. Everybody loves their Michigan prospects. Want to see some of those guys come home. We haven't really gotten a lot of them. He's got prototypical cornerback size. He can also play inside and out. I think if he gets drafted by the Lions, I think he would project inside to nickel. I think that's where they would use him. Lots of speed there. And the Lions, as we've said a couple of times now, they need speed. And he's a guy that brings some of that here. The last guy I wanted to mention is Benjamin St. Juste. Not your typical type of inside nickel guy. He's 6'3", 202. Generally, that's an outside guy, and that's all there is to it. But he's insanely quick. He's got really, really quick feet. Would be a very interesting guy to see the Lions try to move inside. And didn't run the best 40, but had really good splits. So it's a guy that I think that Holmes would have his eye on, because he's a guy that might fall on some teams' boards, but he's been really smart about how to value those guys. So he's an interesting name to keep an eye on.
Love it. All right, let's close things up here with everyone's favorite sleepers. If you don't know Kent, by the way, he's a Detroit Lions fan, so he's got his pulse on the team. So with the Lions in mind, who do you think is a guy that the Lions might really like in day three of this draft that you would love to see wearing that Honolulu blue?
Well, I already named a couple of them, and I kind of burned out my favorite ones there just because I love talking about Brad Holmes and that. So one of the best ones, just for pride of Detroit, is a cornerback out of Nebraska, not because he's good, and he's already a good day three prospect, but his name is DiCaprio Boodle, which would just sweep the name bracket. It would have no competition. You can't touch that. DiCaprio Boodle is too tough, man.
Love it.
Jason Pinnock out of Pittsburgh is another cornerback prospect that I think that the Lions could keep an eye on. He played for Pitt. Pitt had a really weird pro day situation with how they were doing some of their time drills. They had some turf issues. He still tested out as a fantastic athlete, even despite that, which I think is it shows the type of athletic ability that he has, that he can overcome something like crappy turf conditions and run really well. There isn't anybody in the defensive tackle class, even as a sleeper, that I could find that I was really excited with. From the edge class, Cam Sample out of Tulane is a guy that I really liked. He's not an elite athlete. He's not your top tier athletic talent. So some people might be surprised that I'm the one sitting here saying, look at him. He's not super fast, not super quick, but he's a very explosive player off the line. He's a bit of a tweener. He's about 267, 270 pounds. He probably plays between 270, 275. So he's a bigger dude. I think the Lions could find some good use for him on the edge and really complement the guys that they already have in that pass rushing room. And then Hamilcar Rashed, another edge guy out of Oregon State, has a lot of promising athletic traits, very explosive, good speed. One of those straight line type of athletes. He's not going to wow you with his speed on the edge, because he'll run himself right out of the play. He's just not bendy enough to really get a lot out of that. But I think if a team is creative enough, they can take advantage of his explosiveness and his speed and really use him to kind of attack the quarterback from a bunch of different angles, to move him around the line and have him stand up at times, switch sides, jump all over the place, and try to find those holes that he can just burst through. Similar to how the Lions used Jared Davis back when it was actually working. I think Rashed would be a really interesting guy to see them try to deploy that way. I think that's it. I don't have any safeties. We already talked about the safeties and the corners that I liked.
Hey, that's plenty information. I think that fans are going to use I hope everyone was taking notes, because there will be a test next Thursday. Before we go, Kent, we got to catch up with you on the personal side. You know, we've missed you over the past, I don't know how long it's been, 6 months or so, feels a lot longer than that. But what's up with things at Pro Football Network? What are you doing over there? What do you like about there? What can we get excited about?
Yeah, I've been working over there, you know, the analytics stuff and the applications development. There's a lot of stuff that I can't really talk about because it's still being worked on. We're still developing it, trying to build up some stuff. Most of you guys are at least familiar with the Pro Football Network mock draft simulator. I didn't build that, not taking credit for building it. I do maintain it, though, and I'm going to be the one that's going to be in charge of updating it, finding different ways to use it, different ways to help with the user experience. Updating the trade logic. I'm not the guy that comes up with the rankings. I'm just the guy that pushes the buttons and makes some switches changes to actually update the rankings. We have a team that actually does the updates themselves, but doing a lot of that there. I'm very excited for some of the stuff we have coming down the pipe that should be here deep into the offseason before the regular season starts. Can't talk about it quite a bit yet, but several of those things are just, they just don't exist in the market. So there isn't even really something I can compare it to and say, oh yeah, if you like this, you're going to like this other thing that we're working on. Cause it doesn't exist yet. We're still working on putting it out. On the other side of things, my relative athletic score stuff has been, it's been going pretty strong this year, despite all the craziness. I actually got a different domain cause relativeathleticscores.com is really long. So I bought ras.football. So you can go to ras.football. It's a lot easier to remember. And you can check out, we're up to 21,000 players, most of which have scores since 1987. So 35 years of data, tens of thousands of players you can go look up. You can go switch positions now. So if you want to go out and see what Taylor Decker would look like as a tight end, have at it. You want to throw Jared Goff in the backfield and have him be a running back, you can go see if that would, that would look like athletic. But you can do all that stuff now. In the next couple of months, I wanted to get it before the draft, but I just won't have enough time. You're going to be able to pull up multiple players and compare them side by side. You can do counts now. You can go look up counts to see how good each individual test would be compared against whatever position group, whatever year. I'm going to keep adding stuff, man, because I've had so much support from the NFL draft community, from Lions fans. And that's expanded. It's not just Lions fans. I've got Bills fans, Packers, Colts, Bengals. A lot of other fan bases have really taken to it, and they've really helped me expand the site and give me a lot of insights. So go check it out. Find something and tell me it's broken. I'm the only one running it. So if something's broken, just tell me, and it gives me something to go try to fix. I love fixing stuff.
Yeah, Packers fans definitely love you because they, oh, yeah. I mean, Raz is essentially what it seems like the Packers use.
Yeah, whatever they're using, it's very similar. It's one of the only teams where, like, if you were to tell me today that you had proof that they've been using Raz for years and that's their only athletic test, I would believe you. And like, I have no reason to believe you because I run it. I would know, right? But I have no reason to not believe it because they're so closely aligned with how those tests work.
You know, Kent, you deserve all the continued success that you're having. The one question that I have for you is how completely maddening was it this draft season with pro days versus no combine?
It was a nightmare. So the combine, you know, it's a week and I take the week off just so I can enjoy it and really take it in. I watch the combine every day of the combine. I watch twice so I can get all my testing data and then just enjoy watching the drills and watching these guys run. And Josh Allen and his weird, goofy run. If you ever get a chance to go watch his 40 again, that guy runs so weird. But it's a lot of fun for me to do that kind of stuff. We didn't have that. And with it being spread out so much, it's been such a roller coaster with, oh, this guy is a surefire first rounder. There's no reason this guy's never going to fall out of the first round. You get that at the combine for like a week. But because of the pro day period, we're getting like three or four guys every week for a month and a half. And it's just crazy watching them. Yeah. I mean, we start the draft season with about 70 guys that are going in the first round, right? And there's only 32 picks, but there's 70 guys that are going in the first round. The combine clears that up and we end up with about 40, right? With the way this pro day period has had, we've got more guys. It's like 90 now. There's like 90 first rounders and whoever isn't there is going in the second. It's been a bonkers offseason.
His name is Kent Lee Platy. You can find him at MathBomb on Twitter. You can find him at Pro Football Network, profootballnetwork.com, or ras.football. I didn't even know that. So go find him, go follow him, go do all that stuff. as Ryan said, he deserves all the success that he's gotten and more. And we appreciate him making some time for us tonight to talk NFL draft. Kent, you're a legend. Please come back again soon.
Absolutely, man. Looking forward to it.
All right. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon talking more NFL draft. If you want to drop by our YouTube and Twitch pages, we'll do mock draft Thursdays again and probably a mock draft Wednesday next week because the NFL draft is literally a week away, y'all. We finally made it. So until next time, it's chaos. Be kind.